Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Spotify Green Room. It's the live audio-only sports talk platform. It's free to download and use. You can talk to other fans, athletes, insiders in real time. Perfect for watch parties and get-togethers. I mean, or, you know, if you got some buddies on Twitter, where, you know, like they do the spaces and stuff, like whatever that stuff is, you know, this would be a good thing where you can have a watch party together. I mean, you're not, it's audio only, so you're not, you know, tweeting, you're not dealing with, you know, people with dog AVs and whatnot. And, you know, you can react to the latest news, rumors and whatnot, and, you know, latest scores, a whole bunch of stuff. All you got to do is go to the iOS App Store, Google Play Store, download it, and link your Twitter, and come in with some of your, you know, spicy takes. In this context, there's no disrespect, so when I bust my rhymes, you break your necks. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect from all intellect and let the rhythm affect. Follow your intuition, free your inner soul and break away from tradition. Cause when we be out, girl, it's full of heat out. You wouldn't believe how we wild. Turn it till it's burned out, turn it till it's burned out. Acting up from Northwest East Side. Everybody, everybody, let's get into it. Get stoned, get started, get started, get started. Let's get it started, let's get it started. Let's get it started in here, let's get it started. Let's get it started. Welcome to our Pit Panther Rants and other sports rants podcast brought to you by The Sports Drink. I'm starting off today with some black eyed peas from Let's Get It Started. This song has some significance to me in terms of Steeler games. When I went from what's it called? I stopped going to games. 2008 was my last season. I went to the AFC title game in 2000. You know, that took place in 2009. But you know, my last full season of going to Steeler games was 2008 season. You know, I've been to maybe two games since I left Pittsburgh to move to Houston. But I remember when Big Ben Roethlisberger was when he got drafted. And, of course, when they went on this big tear they did in 2004, this was one of the songs that was played, I remember. It was all throughout the stadium. They would play it. They would have the highlights. And, of course, when it would bust out, well, let's get the start, people would just be waving their towels and going nuts. And, yeah. And, yeah, we're going to touch on the whole, you know, Big Ben. He played his last home game in Pittsburgh, and we're going to talk about that. But we have to get to some pit news. Let's talk. Well, we got to recap a lot of stuff that's happened. Pitt lost to Michigan State in the Peach Bowl. Pitt lost the game 31-21. At one point, they had a 21-10 lead. I mean, they recovered a fumble. And it was 21-10, I remember. And I was wondering, you know, maybe our fortunes are looking good. But if we look here, yeah, Cameron Bright He recovered a fumble, ran it 26 yards for a TD. Nick Penny looked pretty good, you know, from the limited, you know, time we saw him. And it's just, he got hurt running for that touchdown. Davis Bevel comes in, and he obviously wasn't ready to play. I mean, his stat line, though, he was 14 of 18 for 149 yards, a TD and pick. He showed some flashes here and there, but, I mean, he's obviously very raw. I mean, he's a third stringer. He obviously is going to be because he hasn't had a lot of snaps. But, I mean, he did, you know, he did what he could. And quite frankly, I don't need to see him for another few years taking any more snaps. But I do, you know, there's obviously some upside. Maybe if we get the right coordinator in, if we ever hire one, things get a little better. But, you know, Jordan Addison, seven receptions, 114 yards. Vincent Davis was the leading rusher with 12 carries, 43 yards. Izzy was out. He left the game early. I think also if he's in there, maybe I think Pitt wins with Izzy. The play calling was a little bit suspect. Actually, it was very suspect. As late in the game, Pitt had a chance to get a first down. And somehow Pitt just runs a toss sweep. And pretty much when that happened, we all knew we were fucked. Because Michigan State scored before that, and they, you know, and the guy made a really good catch. I mean, it was well defended. You know, Pitt's defense played its heart out. I mean, the one thing they couldn't do was get off the field on fourth down, on third or fourth down. They had a hard time with it. But overall, they played their ass off. It just, you know, it just, things just didn't go right. And, you know, for us to lose a game in this fashion, you know, where you drive down the field and throw the pick, you know, that's basically, I mean, to me, that when that happened, I just said, I love you, Pitt. That is all, basically, because for us to have that type of season and end it with the way we usually end games, when we lose games, it was just like, you know, it didn't make me sad. It just put a big smile on my face. And I went, you know, and people could have, you know, I mean, I didn't have some of my Penn State friends try to troll me, and I could have really cared less. It's like we won the conference title. We did everything that we had a Biletnikoff winner, a Heisman finalist. We did everything, just about everything we set out to do. So I really don't care. I mean, Pitt did not make the playoffs. So, and bowl games for the most part are irrelevant. I mean, you can't brag about your bowl wins anymore. I mean, they count for recruiting a little bit, but if you're a fan, you can't pump your fist. You can't pump your chest that you had, you know, well, we had 60,000 fans, you know, travel to, you know, the Outback Bowl. I mean, nobody cares anymore if you're traveling. Nobody gives a shit. I mean, bowl games now are getting, I mean, now you're seeing, mainly because players are now opting out of bowl games. Now, you know, with COVID now, people are, you know, bowl games got canceled. And we saw that. We saw playing bowl games get canceled. I mean, COVID was probably one of the reasons. But I think the big reason a lot of these bowl games got canceled was because of money. I mean, there was a whole lot of, I mean, how many bowl games were canceled? You know, Google was your friend. It looks like last I looked, 5 bowl games were canceled. I shouldn't say, you know, that's the reason why bowl games got canceled. That's one, you know, because not a whole lot of them got canceled. But I guess I should say there's a reason why teams didn't, you know, decide not to go, because it's all about money. I mean, because you got to travel, and it's like, you know, is it really, you know, for some, you know, is it really worth it to spend all the money that, you know, obviously it was the Rutgers being at 5-7 and going to the Gator Bowl. I'm sure you can't pass up a Gator Bowl, but I mean, a lot of these kids are on holiday, and, you know, for them to turn around and have to go back was kind of crappy. But I mean, you know, that's from my opinion. You know, if the players wanted to play, I mean, then that's, you know, then that's fine. If they really wanted to play this, if they wanted to play another game, then by all means, you know, if they're happy about it, it's all matters. If that's what they wanted to do. But as we all know, Brendan Marion went to Texas, which was expected. Pitt had a whole rash of guys go to the transfer portal. Cam Bright, one of the linebackers, went. Noah Palmer as well. Shockey Jockey. Shockey had a lot of hype. He just never really panned out. I think part of it was injuries, but he was never that explosive player that we thought he would be. Todd Sibley, he was a good guy as well. I mean, it's just he just never panned out. And let's hope that he goes somewhere. But Pitt did land Quinnen Mumfield, Akron transfer. He's a really good receiver. Let's see, they also landed Michael Dowell, a linebacker from Michigan. So, Pitt's going to get some guys back from all this. But the fact they lost so many linebackers is it's very concerning because they're thin at that position now. And maybe the fact that the coach is now, maybe he's gunning that position and bringing some guys that he wants. I mean, I'm not sure, but Pitt's outlook for next season looks really good. And yes, it's disappointing to lose a bowl game. It sucks, but that, they gave it to Rawl, given they had a third, they were down their third string quarterback, and it is what it is. Excuse me, I'm drinking my coffee. But Pitt needs, obviously, a wide receiver coach and an offensive coordinator. So hopefully those get ironed out here pretty soon. I'm just, Deuce is going to bring in whoever he wants. I just hope it's not a grad transfer from Michigan State like he's been doing. I mean, because he brought a linebackers coach, and he, same thing, and he hasn't really, he hasn't been too exciting of a hire. But the attendance for a bowl game was 41,000. There was a lot of Pitt fans there from what I gathered. Ranks for the Peach Bowl were supposedly up 20-something%. It was one of the highly watched games. And it was funny reading some of the comments because a lot of the Michigan State fans, because how Big Ten fans are, they love taking credit for everything. And obviously they were taking credit for, the high ratings, because that's what Big Ten fans do in a nutshell. That's just how they are. I mean, it's all about egos. Pitt basketball lost another heartbreaker last night. This one to Louisville. Ithil Horton came back, and the charges against him were dropped. It's because supposedly the cop just didn't show up to the thing. And I guess the cop plans to refile because he couldn't get, some people to testify. And I don't know, that case sat for so long. I mean, my thing is you couldn't, I'm not sure what trial this was going to be. Was it going to be a trial where, where you just appear, from a judge, and you guys give your sides of the story, and then the judge makes his decision? Or was this going to be one of those type of jury trials? And according to the cop, he couldn't get enough people to testify. And, I would assume he had enough time to do that. When did this happen? Let's see here. Ithil Horton. Let's look him up real quick. Let's see. He was reinstated around the holidays, but he was, from November 9th. Let's take a look here. Well, the article came out November 9th, but when did it actually happen? All right, so yeah, it happened that weekend of that. So, and then the charges were dropped a month later, so I would say he had enough time to, to get those people together. This is what I would hope. I mean, I'm not sure how the schedules of police officers work, but I would say normally in these, if it's between him and the judge, if they're both appearing before the judge and they're giving their sides of the story, 9 times out of 10, the judge is always going to side with the, they're always going to side with the cop. That's why, which is why pretty much people record police now these days, in terms of anything, because a lot of times the judge will always side with the police officer. I mean, if you're going to, appear for the judge for say like disorderly conduct or, misdemeanor, or misdemeanor or, public drunkenness or whatever, it doesn't matter what, the judge is always going to take the side of the police officer. So, you're best to just say, hey, I fucked up and I want to, I will take responsibility for my actions. I'll do what needs to be done. And if anything, the judge will give you community service and tell you, hey, do community service and that's, the records are expunged. But regardless, he came back. He made an impact last night, but Pitt lost another heartbreaker. Recruiting hasn't been all that great, supposedly, from what I'm reading. But I would say, if this keeps up the way it's going, if he wins some ACC games with the roster he has, I would think that he would stay another year. He would definitely stay another year. He would have earned it. It's just recruiting needs to pick up because there hasn't been anything going on with that. What happened to him in Oklahoma happened to him in a pit. With Oklahoma, though, when he tried to rebuild the roster, when looks like things were starting to work out for him, they fired him. Pitt, I think we haven't really gone anywhere in years in terms of basketball. It doesn't really matter. So, if anything, just, if you have to give him another year, just give it to him. Unless things really fly off the rail. But, you have to worry about John Hewley if he's going to be here after this year, if he goes and tests the NBA waters, because that could happen. Or the way the transfer portal is now, John Hewley could go to, say, North Carolina or Kentucky or Duke. That's another thing that people need to look out for, is if these players get better, you have to worry about the transfer portal now, because these guys can jump to other schools, especially in the ACC. They can say, hey, I've done pretty well here, Pitt, I'm going to go somewhere else. And, yeah, it's a lot to deal with. But, we'll see what happens. Let me tell you guys about Spotify Green Room. It's the live audio-only sports talk platform. Free to download, use, great for watch parties and whatnot. Spotify Green Room would have been a great time if you had a podcast or just some sort of watch party for the last Steeler game for Ben Roethlisberger. Well, Steeler home game it is, but he has one more game against Baltimore, which is against Baltimore. This would have been perfect for this. You could have, talked about, how bad Baker Mayfield is. He was pretty brutal in that game. The Browns overall were brutal. Miles Garrett was non-existent. Jadeveon Clowney threw a shoe. A lot to talk about here. All you gotta do is download the app from the iOS App Store, Google Play Store, log in, create your account, link your Twitter, whatever, and just, come in with some great conversation. Now, let's get to some other stuff now. Monday night, Ben Roethlisberger played his final game at Heinz Field. The game itself, for the most part, was pretty much forgettable. Both offenses, for the most part, were brutal. Let's be honest. Ben's stat line wasn't all that great. He threw a lot of passes, I'm not sure if it's a combination of Matt Canada being shitty or if it's the receivers. Chase Claypool. That's funny because I keep getting his name mixed up with. I was about to say, who was the guy from Primus? Was it Wes Claypool? Yeah, it was Wes Claypool. I almost called Chase Claypool Wes Claypool because, you know, the guy from Primus. Funny story about him. I think he supposedly played in Pittsburgh one time for, I don't know if it was Lollapalooza or whatnot. I forget what it was, but I think his style of music didn't fit with whatever venue it was or whatever concert. Supposedly he got booed off the stage and he said a promise would never play in Pittsburgh anymore. And this was like back in the early 90s. I don't know if it was Lollapalooza. I forget what it was. But yeah, he got booed off stage. I think supposedly when Courtney Love and Hole performed in Pittsburgh, supposedly they threw shotgun shells at her. I mean, they were used ones, and supposedly she walked off stage. And those are some of the things I've heard. But yeah, I mean, Ben's receivers for the most part don't do him any justice either. I mean, Baker Mayfield is pretty bad. Of course, he's been hurt all year, quote unquote hurt. I mean, he could have just, if he really wanted some time, a reason to rest, I mean, he could just took his pads off and, did jumping jacks, in the end zone like Antonio Brown did. The Antonio Brown thing, I'm just waiting for more of that to come out. But my thing is, if you're hurt, if you're not unable to play, why are you fully suited up in pads to begin with? If you're not ready to go, and if you think you're not ready to go, if you think you have broken bones or whatnot, whatever it is, don't suit up. But I guess he tried to give us all. I mean, he did play, but they shot him up full of painkillers, supposedly, and whatnot. But I mean, if you're not ready to go, I mean, if you really can't play, then don't play. And I mean, I guess more and more of this is coming out where it kind of makes Bruce Arians and the Buccaneers look bad as well. And I don't know. I know people want to say that Antonio Brown's not in a good place, but he may, from what it looks like, he may have a legit reason to be pissed off. I mean, the way I guess he expressed it, I guess, was really non-conventional. I mean, he took off his pads and, did what he did, but I don't know. I mean, that's just, I know he, people think he has some issues, and he may, but I remember when Ben was thrown under the bus over the Antonio Brown stuff. I mean, that was going to happen. I mean, that's just how that is. I mean, a lot of that was Ben's doing, because we'll get into that as we'll get into that as well. I mean, because Ben, I guess, set himself up to be easily thrown under the bus by his by players for the most part. All right, so let's get back into the what we were supposed to talk about, because this is going into the old Ben discussion. Ben played his last game in Heinz Field, which I've already talked about. There was a big celebration. Some people felt that it was all over the top. I mean, I've heard some takes from some people about it. I think a lot of the stuff is over. I mean, today's social media driven world, it's all over the top in terms of getting rings, page clicks. Almost anything you do is over. Almost everything that's done is over the top. I mean, it's just how it is. People want that whole dramatic type of thing. I mean, the one thing I could live with that was all the, Ben Sinner trying to soak in. He's sitting there trying to soak in his final game, and he's got microphones and cameras all around him. He's sitting there trying to sit down, collect it all in, have his moment, and he's surrounded by cameras. He's walking around. He's trying to do his lap, And he can't do his lap because he's got freaking cameras all around him. And it's like, you know, for a while I was like, you know, can you please just back off the guy and let him freaking soak it in? You know, that's one gripe I had about the whole thing was, you know, everybody wanted that, you know, that special photo. And, you know, he's trying to like, he's trying to, I guess, of course, his wife and kids came on the field. He's sitting there trying to, you know, get to them. And there's all these freaking cameras around. And it's just, if there's one thing that I couldn't live without was all those cameras around him. And that's just, you know, that's my gripe with the whole thing. Was that, I mean, it was, I mean, this was his moment, and it just, and he has to, you know, he has to do it without, you know, with a whole bunch of cameras around him, just all circled around him. And just so he really couldn't do it. My only hope for him is he could at least walk on, you know, when they all left and went, you know, went to go do their articles or upload their photos and whatnot. My hope is that he at least went back onto the field and went and, you know, sat down and then soaked it up. But, you know, I'm sure, you know. But, yeah, the game overall was, you know, was a forgettable game. I mean, Myles Garrett bragged about how he was going to do all these things. And, of course, we didn't hear a thing from him. Jadeveon Clowney throws a shoe. I mean, Clowney is a, you know, I live in Houston, so I got to see him play. I mean, he was a very talented guy, but he never really played to his full capacity. And of course, he wanted more money from the Texans, and the Texans said, "We're not going to give you a whole bunch. You know, you're good, but you're not like great. I mean, if you want to be great, you got to get that. You know, you have to be great to get that money." So naturally, he went somewhere else where he was probably going to get paid, if he even did. But as far as Ben goes, he was drafted in 2004, I remember. And it was a shocker to all of us that we actually drafted a quarterback. But we needed one. And, I mean, there were so many other quarterbacks on there. I mean, there was J.P. Losman, there was Rivers and Manning, which we knew we weren't going to get. I remember the Chargers drafted Eli, and of course, I remember the reaction when Eli went to the podium. I mean, they were just like pissed off. Giants drafted Rivers, and they made us the trade, which I never understood. I think the Chargers did that just to be assholes. Let's be honest. I would have done that same thing too, what was odd about the Chargers was, they had Drew Brees and things were work out with him. Then, you know, I guess they just weren't happy with him. But he goes to the Saints and wins a Super Bowl. So that worked out. Rivers had some good years, especially under Marty Schottenheimer. I mean, Marty Ball was a big thing. Their best team lost to New England, and I remember they had that game won. They dominated that game, but they played so undisciplined that they kept New England in the game and eventually it bit them. But, I mean, he had some really talented players around him. Of course, he had LaDainian Tomlinson. He had Antonio Gates. I mean, they had so many good players, and they never could go anywhere. And that's one thing I can say about Ben Roethlisberger. He won two Super Bowls in an era with where you had all these good quarterbacks, especially when you had Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. You know, he managed to win two Super Bowls, you know, despite having all these, you know, Brees, Manning, the Mannings, I should say, because Eli managed to win two Super Bowls. But in an era where people all they talked about was Tom Brady and Eli Manning, Ben, managed to win two. And there I'm trailing off in this whole, you know, unstructured type of thing. But Ben was drafted. And of course, I played that Let's Get It Started, you know, from the Black Eyed Peas, because that was one of the big songs from 2004. It was always played at Steeler games, and people would wave their towels and go nuts. I guess it was like the Renegade. It was another part. It was like a renegade type of song that gets played at the Steeler games. It's one of the ones that people forget about. It was the other renegade song, I guess I should say. But Steelers went on a tear that year, and of course Ben being a rookie, you know, I sat in that cold when they lost to New England, and we all kind of knew what was going to happen because the Steelers won, beat them the first time. I knew the second time we weren't going to beat them. You know, once you have game feel on somebody, and of course Ben wasn't, you know, he was not playing all that good up until the end. I think it just came with experience. Our defense was winning a lot of those games. We won that Jets game, I remember, and we won it in overtime, and that was a game we probably should have lost. We barely pulled that one out, and it just didn't work out, you know. In that AFC title game, it was just a cold, miserable night. I remember sitting in that, and I just had a gut feeling that it just wasn't going to work out, and it didn't. But the next year, you know, they had their that was the year when we played New England. We played that New England that year as well. We were winning the game, and of course we did it. We were doing everything to keep New England in the game. I think at one point we were about to score a touchdown. I think it was Randall or somebody was about to score a touchdown, or they had a big gain. And I remember they for whatever reason they lateraled the ball and I guess there was a miscommunication on the lateral and they fumbled, and New England just they end up winning by a field goal. I remember. And the way that game, the way those events happened in that game, I remember I sat in that stadium and I was just probably one of the most depressed I've ever been at a Steeler game. I've never really cried at Steeler games, and I still didn't, but I was just depressed, I remember. And it was one of the few times I was ever depressed at a Steeler game, was when it was that New England game during a regular season where, and I just said to my dad, I was like, you know, as long as Bill Cowher's here, we're never going to win a Super Bowl. And I said, for some reason, I said, I love Cowher. He's a great coach, but we're just never going to get over the hump, no matter who we draft or who we have. We always find ways to fuck up games. And this was one of those games where we had it won, and we outdid ourselves. We ended up beating ourselves again. And it's like, you know, I remember at one point the Steelers were, you know, they were on the bubble for a playoff spot, and they won out, and of course they had to go the wild card route, and then they beat Cincinnati, and they had some luck there because Cincinnati was hot. They had Chris Henry, who was tearing us up in games. Carson Palmer gets hurt. Chemo rolled on his ankle. And there's debate whether that was intentional or not. It's hard to say. I mean, it looks like it was an accident. But he got hurt, and Bengals were never really the same. I mean, they were winning for the most part, but the Steelers pulled that one off. Then, of course, we went to Indianapolis, and Ben played out of his mind early in the game. We came out throwing, I remember, and then the bus had the fumble at the end, but I mean, it should never came to that. I mean, Polamalu had the pick, and of course they rolled it incomplete, whatever, you know. And the NFL has a tendency to do these, make games swing another way. And of course, you know, that, I mean, I'm sure they won, you know, Indianapolis in the AFC title game against whoever. And fortunately, Mike Vanderjack, the drunken kicker, he missed the field goal, and that was it. And of course, Ben didn't make the game-saving tackle, but that's his fumble. We can't leave that out. And of course, you know, Steelers play out of their minds against the Broncos. Ben came out throwing again, and we get to the Super Bowl, and that was pretty much not much I like to say about that game. I mean, we rented the conference room at the Hampton Inn, and we had television. We brought all kinds of snacks, pizza, and whatnot. and we all watched the game at the from a conference room, and like, you know, some of my, one of my friends, his brother was a West Mifflin cop. Some of those guys came and watched the game with us. A funny side story to this. There was a brawl at Duke's Cafe, Duke's Upper Deck in Homestead. There was a brawl. And it was on the radio. And the cops went there to, I guess break up the brawl. Well, instead, the cops just, they supposedly locked the they didn't feel like dealing with it, so they supposedly locked the patrons from the outside, and they just said, "Yeah, we're just gonna let them work it out. we're not gonna intervene because, you know, there's only two of us right now. We're just gonna lock the doors and just let them we're gonna let them work it out on their own." So yeah, that's one of the things that happened, and of course we pardoned the south side after the game, you know. I just remember it snowing and driving through that snow, and yeah. But of course, after that, that's when we saw, you know, some things come out about Ben. I mean, I heard stuff about him that he was kind of a, you know, which is what people don't like about him. I guess his personality wasn't all that great, and of course he gets a motorcycle, and he's not wearing a helmet, and of course he nearly dies. And, you know, he wasn't all that good that next year. You know, Kyle retires. And, of course, Kyle proved me wrong about not winning a Super Bowl, of course. Eventually, you know, we get to the Super Bowl again with the, you know, Ben pulls off an amazing drive. I mean, things were great. I mean, he was, like, on top of the world. Then the allegations came. And then, you know, he had two allegations of, you know, of rape, and then all the stories about Ben started to come out about how he is a prick in real life, about how he'd go to places and refuse to pay his tab because he was Ben Roethlisberger, people should owe him stuff, and of course, you know, it just, all these other stories started to come out about him, and he gets suspended from the league. He was never charged in the second rape. The first one he settled out of court. The second one, he never got charged. And it was because supposedly the girl, it was either she was too drunk, or I forget, she dropped it because something about her personal life. There was things about her personal life she didn't want to come out. And that's why, you know, she didn't want to come full forward. Jesus, I have 7 minutes left on this podcast. I just didn't realize that. And of course, you know, years later, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown had their meltdowns and, of course, threw Ben under the bus. All the stuff about Ben being a horrible leader and all, you know, it just, all this stories came out, and it just, and of course, you know, in this final game, there was a lot of mixed stuff on Twitter I saw where people were sad to see him go. I mean, there were some people that were upset that people were celebrating his, you know, his final game. And I mean, you were obviously going to see former teammates and stuff and NFL players celebrating his final game because, you know, Ben's a football player. They've worked with him in the past, or they have some sort of relationship with him. So they're going to give him, you know, going to say, "Hey, you know, congrats on a great career." You know, they're going to do all that. You know, Josh Harris was the funniest because he made a tweet about how it was an honor to take handoffs from Ben. And here was a guy who he tried to get himself some clout by saying that Ben was occasionally, you know, he fumbled on purpose. And I'm sure Ben has probably, you know, supposedly rumor has it Ben has changed plays at times at the line. He's done, you know, that's a rumor. My thing is if you're going to disrespect the coach, if you're going to drag a coworker in public, then years later come and wish them well. I mean, me personally, if there's a coworker I don't like and I drag him in public, I'm not going to come years later and say, "Hey, you've had a great, it was an honor working with you." You know, it's just weird. That's just something I just don't understand. But as far as the whole thing goes, I mean, Ben has two legacies. He's got the legacy of a guy who was a great, one of the best, probably the best quarterback we've ever had in our franchise history. I mean, he managed to win two Super Bowls in terms of, you know, in the, where it was dominated by, you know, Brady Manning, Aaron Rodgers, whatever. It'd been nice if he could have won at least one more. I mean, the Green Bay game just didn't, that game just didn't happen. But after that, he never went to another Super Bowl. Never sniffed one. And part of it was they held on to players for too long. And another part was they just pissed teams, good teams away. I mean, his last true chance was probably the year when they lost to Jacksonville convincingly. They were really good that year, and they just melted down in that game. It's great that he went to three Super Bowls. It's just a shame that he couldn't went to at least one more. But overall, that's one legacy we'll remember him as, is a guy who was a really good, great player. But there's the other legacy of him where he has there's a lot of questions to be asked, where he was a dickhead. He supposedly hurt some people. And yeah, I mean, there's people that still hate him for it, years later. And Ron Cook touched base on all that in his article, his column he wrote, where he talks about Ben's past and how Ben's trying to evolve from it. I mean, I give Ron credit for trying to I give Ron a lot of credit for trying to do that, trying to at least have the balls to touch on his what happened in the past, but the whole other stuff afterwards, it felt like it was a PR type of thing. I mean, when Peyton Manning retired and gave us this press conference, he got questioned about what happened in college, because there was an incident that happened to him in college with a female trainer, and I think if he would have lost that Super Bowl, I don't think it would have been brought up, because there was people that were upset that Manning won the Super Bowl and Cam Newton didn't. And Cam Newton didn't shake hands or something like that, and people got mad. So people brought up Peyton Manning's past, I guess say that Cam was a better teammate. I don't know. But I think if Manning would have lost that, I think if Broncos would have lost that game, it would never got brought up. But he did get asked about it in his last press conference. And I'm not sure, in terms of Ben, I'm not sure if that's going to happen with him. I mean, for the most part, Ben's kept a low profile. He's not on social media. People do bring up Ray Lewis and Kobe Bryant as comparisons to Ben about what happened. But Ray Lewis is a very likable person now. I mean, you see him on NFL and whatnot. And of course, Kobe was very likable as well. I mean, after what happened with him. I mean, he became very likable for whatever reason. He was a very talented player. And of course, if you watch that final game, he's scoring all those points. He's waving at his wife and kids. And, Ben, for them, you can say those two have kept a high profile. Whereas Ben kept a low profile. And, he really, so I think that's probably one reason why, he hasn't had, the affection of the public is because he kept a low profile. That's just how I feel. Maybe it's how it is. I don't know. And I don't really expect Ben to be on social media doing stuff now. I think he'll just be doing stuff with his kids and whatnot. But as we close here, Ben was a hell of a player here, and he's going to have two legacies. His sports legacy, where he was really good, and of course, the off-field stuff. I mean, those are two things that he's probably going to have to live with, and that's what, and, you know, as a Steelers fan, that's what you're going to have. That's what you're going to have to live with as well. And will there ever be a solution to it? I don't know. But anyways, on to here, guys. Hell to Pit. Talk to you later.